and the reasons why they want to destroy humanity. Maybe we deserve it. We talk Netflix's Castlevania.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Yeah!
Wait, is this the actual...
This is not the actual theme. This is Dracula's Castle from
Yeah, I was going to say, this is definitely not from Netflix era productions.
The Netflix one was a little too heavy. Thanks for watching the Mighty Otaku, everyone. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment on iTunes. Hit that thumbs up on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at The Popcorn Talk. And for those of you who are listening on the podcast, whether it be on iTunes or the podcast app of your choice, hello to you. We appreciate you guys. I am your host, Yume Warlock. You can find me all over the internet at Yume Warlock.
Oh, you're looking at me now.
Yes.
You need like an audio segue. I'm not always looking at you. Okay.
Pay attention, yeah. Max.
I'm Maxwell Song, another host in this fine establishment, and you can find me at Max Salt at the everything.
And today we have a guest host because Michelle's not here. We have Shawnee Hale at and tell us about yourself, Shawnee.
I have a hentai site.
Yes.
Yes.
And we also do a podcast. It should be just called the TMI podcast, but it's called Hentai HQ, and it's at thehentaihq.com. And then, you know, when I'm not being lewd, I work for Loot Anime.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Do they know about your moonlighting as a
She's
as a hentai person?
Yeah. Well, they knew about it before they hired me.
Oh, wow.
They're okay with it.
Yeah, they're totally fine.
Also, I'm monitoring chat, so if you guys want to throw in your comments, and if you guys have seen the Netflix version of Castlevania, which I hope you have, because it's very, very mucho good, we'll get into that.
Yes.
But once again, come in. Throw in whatever opinion you want. Love it. You hate it. Doesn't matter because we hate your opinions anyway. Okay.
Yes. Or, no, it's because you're wrong.
Because you're wrong?
Because
well,
you're
and
wrong.
Your wifey was shit.
Yeah. Like, look, you're wrong and your wifey was shit.
There's many tears. There's many tears to our slogan.
Yeah, so you may have noticed Michelle's not with us tonight. Michelle is at a birthday party. Whose birthday party? It is Stan Lee's birthday party.
Who's Stan Lee? Is that like some important dude?
Yeah, he's this dude. He's all these like movies with superheroes.
Is he Asian? His last name is Lee. I would expect it.
I don't think so.
Oh, well, that makes me sad.
He's like some nobody.
Okay, well then... Good for Michelle at being at a nobody's birthday party. Good for her.
But they do keep letting him do those walk-on roles in Marvel
I know.
Films.
Oh, is he just like a character actor?
Yeah, they're so nice to him.
He's like that featured background actor.
I love that.
It's like the
character actor yes. Stan Lee. he should promote. He should put that on his IMDb. I think he's going to get a lot of work that way.
Yeah,
I think so.
We're not hating on Michelle. We're not salty or anything.
No, absolutely
not. That would not be us.
Look, we love you way more. And we like to adhere to our responsibilities than that slacker, Michelle.
I know.
And if she ever hears this, don't hurt me. Please.
All right. Back to the story. Netflix did Castlevania. That's what we're talking about.
Yes, I believe they know that from the title and stuff. But what about? Tell me more about this Castlevania.
Let's play the trailer for those of you plebes who haven't seen it.
Darkness upon the land. A savior is needed.
Who are you?
Oh, so dramatic.
The man who'll kill Dracula.
Yeah.
Blah. Three vampires. Blah.
That trailer dropped, I think, in February of this year. Oh, I feel like that happened really quickly. Like, the trailer dropped, and then they're like, it's in July. Hooray.
Yeah. Was that February? It feels honestly sooner.
It was June, because right? I was at Loot Crate. I didn't start until May.
Really? I feel like... Well, no, it's they talked about the news. They dropped the news in February.
Oh,
and then
that's
they didn't
right.
Drop
okay.
The trailer
yeah,
until
June.
Later on.
Right. Because I remember that too. Because I don't know if you guys have heard of Honest Game Trailers. It's where I work. But we did a Castlevania thing for the release of Castlevania for Netflix. And I remember, like, when I was scrambling to make the schedule, it was basically like, I wonder what to do. I wonder what's going to be really hot right now. And then Castlevania came out. And no one had talked about Castlevania for like five
years,
or 6 years.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, unless, of course, you really like Pachinko and you've watched the burning ship that is Konami, which I follow yes. and enjoy.
I enjoy that yeah. burning, flaming shit that is called Konami.
I mean, I watched, I actually, like, stuck with the news like it was, like, a reality TV show. It was the Kardashians. Like, that's the video game equivalent of reality television for me, watching real things. Well, real sad things, because I love basically all the franchises of Konami, and just watching it just basically shit itself yeah. Is a very sad thing to see, but also very intriguing.
Yes. Anyways, the series is actually based off Castlevania II, Dracula's Curse, which was released in Japan in 1989. Some of you may have not been born yet. And in the U.S. in 1990 for the NES. This series for Netflix is written by Warren Ellis, who did Astonishing X-Men, Moon Knight, the Extremis arc for Iron Man, which inspired, I think, Iron Man 2, the movie, or 2 or 3. I'm not sure. Call me out, guys. And he did a bunch of the Marvel anime. He did this story along with Koji Igarashi, who was one of the former Castlevania game producers.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't figure out what game, because it did not say on Wikipedia. That's right, guys. We always use Wikipedia here.
Koji Igarashi, what do you mean? Originally what?
Which games he produced. All it said was he was a former producer. I was like, yeah, but there's like a bajillion games.
Oh, I mean, he's basically like the brainchild of mostly all of them.
Oh, see? Yeah. So, Wikipedia. Thanks.
Yeah.
This script, actually, was originally conceptualized in 2008. And it was for a movie that... they tried to get made, and it never did, and it just kind of sat around until, I don't know how to say his name, Adi Shankar, is that how you say his name?
Adi Shankar.
Yeah,
Adi Shankar,
he and Federator picked it up and then announced it in February. So it basically was in the works for a long time, and it was in works by the guy who did Resident Evil, so I feel like we dodged a bullet with that one, guys. We
got real lucky. Those movies are okay.
They're okay.
They're okay. No, they're I mean, they're garbage if you look at it canonically, but that, I'm not, you know, like, after a while, it had already skewed so far that it was just like, whatever, it's your own thing. You do your own thing.
We're going to get into talking about video game adaptations. Of video game adaptations, the Resident Evil movies are okay.
Oh, there are many worse ones.
Yes, there are
many, many worse
of
ones.
Worse ones.
As a chubby Mila Jovovich lookalike, I'm like Mila Jovovich when she was pregnant. I feel like I'm obligated to like the Resident Evil.
See, the problem with Resident Evil is not Mila Jovovich.
She's
perfect.
She's actually the best part of that whole series. Everything else is basically the worst part of that movie.
Shankara announced was influenced by Akira, Ghost in the Shell, and Ninja Scroll, obviously, for all the blood, gore, and violence.
Mm.
And the day that it was released, it was announced that they had picked it up for a second season, which will be 8 episodes instead of the meager and pathetic 4 that this one was.
I mean, there's a reason that it's 4.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that I know what the actual reason is, but if I know production... And all of the other examples of why things get a very short run and why things get canceled, it's basically because they were like, we don't know how this is going to work. Mm-hmm. Even for Netflix, with the success of like all like the 3D anime and stuff, like the problem with 2D anime is still way more expensive to make 2D than it is to make 3D. That's why you see like Blom, you see Ajin, you mm-hmm. see Knights of Sidonia. Those always get picked up for a full season because they're super cheap to make.
So my theory with this is the reason why it got made into 4 episodes is because Netflix likes episodic stuff. But it's actually just a regular anime movie, and they decided, oh, let's cut it up into 4 parts so we can call it a season.
Yeah.
That's my theory.
I mean, you know, I personally think that that is accurate, but honestly, cutting it up episodically makes it work better. If you put it all together as a movie, I don't necessarily feel like it would make it better. Because the way that I've been watching them is very much like, oh, they're kind of like Game of Thrones episodes. Like,
it kind of
has like that feeling. Because one chunk of arc ends for a character, and then it moves on into some other bigger chunk, or another city, or another, I guess, like each one is like a miniature arc. Right? Like, that's the way that I see it. And by breaking it up that way, it does work. It does work. If it was a movie, it wouldn't even make that big of a difference. But because it is episodic, I don't know. I didn't feel like it was taking away, but giving just a little bit. Just a little bit. You know?
I find like it was just kind of annoying having to skip through the credits every single time.
Yeah, credits were annoying.
That's my fucking like pet peeve. That's my pet peeve. The cast was, the main cast anyway, was pretty great. They got Richard Armitage, Graham McTavish, James Callis, Matt Frewer, who was Max Headroom, by the way. I did not know that.
Was he?
Yes. And Emily Swallow, which we talked about last week, so I'm just going to move past this.
Okay.
We already know this was filled with hobbit or dwarves.
Dwarves. All the dwarves, hobbits. Indeed.
All right. So we're going to move into spoiler territory because we... If you watch this or listen to it, you know we spoil everything. And everything's kind of fair game at this point.
To be fair to us, we actually started saying spoiler territory or spoiler alert before, where it was just the Wild Wild West and we were just like blah 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 blah, 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 and then it was like, oh, we spoiled everything for you, sorry, can't help it, stop listening to us.
Not that anyone complained, but now we're like, all right, spoilers guys, yeah. So the synopsis of this is, as I wrote, a bunch of religious fanatics burn Dracula's wife at the stake, and Dracula rains down all kinds of demonic revenge on people of Wallachia, which nobody seems to consistently pronounce, by the way. Trevor Belmont, the last of the Belmonts, is roped into helping some mystical group find vampire warrior Messiah under the city to defeat Dracula. End.
Yes.
That is exactly what
happens. That was very concise, I'd have to say. You kind of sucked the drama from it a little bit.
All right, I watched the shit out of this. I watched this like 3 times in English and twice in Japanese.
Oh, wow. Jesus. I haven't even seen this in Japanese. All I did was rewatch the fight scenes like a dozen times.
So this is my snobby ass self. I mean, like, it's better in Japanese, guys.
Is it, though?
It's totally better in Japanese.
Interesting.
Thank goodness.
Because all of the issues that I had with this were completely solved in the Japanese language.
That's only because you can't point out any of the mistakes.
Yes.
So it might be worse. You just wouldn't know the difference.
See, the problem is that, like phonetically, I know that they're not pronouncing stuff right because it's, you know, based in historic Romania. But because it's in Japanese, it doesn't bug me as much as it did in the English.
I feel like that's kind of a conditioning, though. Because as I've been watching anime for whatever blankety-blank millions of bajillion years now, it's like, I'm starting to see that when Japanese voice actors are bad, you can tell that they're bad now. You know, or they're not pronouncing something right. They're really not pronouncing something right. Like, it starts to, like, really kind of boil up, and you get used to it.
Yeah.
You learn. You get conditioned from it.
But it was no, like, Asuka trying to speak German bad.
Ugh.
Like, that was horrible.
Oh,
or anytime
God.
In anime somebody's like, oh, I'm half French, and I speak terrible French.
Well, let me tell you about Lupin, the live-action movie.
No!
This is a total tangent, obviously. But there's a scene where, I guess they're all, like, multilingual because they're, like, international thieves or whatever.
Because Lupin is supposed to be Italian, right?
Yeah, something like that. I don't really care. But basically, like, one of the characters, that's not Lupin, by the way. It's, like, his rival friend or whatever.
Oh, no.
Has a whole dramatic speech in English, but his English is so bad. Basically, by the end of the movie, I had clawed my hands into the sides of the seat so hard from all of the cringe that I was feeling. And I feel like it's in this, there are times when the voices are a little cringy, like in Castlevania.
Oh, yes.
Especially since they're supposed to be in Romania.
Yeah.
And it's like watching the Beauty and the Beast live-action movie where they're in France, but everyone is British.
Yeah.
And you're like, why is everyone British?
Yeah. I feel like this is a... I love the show called Versailles, for those of you who don't know it. And it's a British-Canadian series about France.
Okay. Not confusing.
All of the actors are English, and they all speak with a British accent.
Why is it Canadian?
I don't know. It's just a production company who's
based
in Canada.
Okay, all right.
Maybe because Canadian.
Kentucky?
I knew exactly where you were going.
Maybe because Canada's half French.
That makes sense. Yeah, that's true.
But it's like, I feel like you have to decide what your rules are, because in Versailles, like, everybody who's supposed to be French is actually British, so they speak with perfect British accents.
Sure.
And the one girl who's an English princess is the only one who has an accent that's not English, because she's supposed to be the foreigner. So it's like, if you decide what your rules are, stick to them. In this one, they're all Romanian. None of the rules get, like, they all mix them. And I'm like,
I honestly don't really remember them having, you know, the typical Romanian accent for any of the characters. They're all, like, this weird quasi-European accent. It wasn't quite British. It wasn't quite, well, I guess, kind of this weird, like, Romanian or Russian kind of dialect. It was just sort of like, he has an accent. It is indescribable in which country that comes from.
I feel like Belmont was straight up British.
Yeah, because I mean, he's Richard Armitage, most British, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like, so you have him who's like from this like royal, like, or like really noble family. So he's obviously proper. And then everybody around him speaks with a really fake, like, Cockney accent, but they can't really seem to keep it straight. It's kind of like, some of them are like, oh, I'm somewhat Cockney, but I'm obviously not English, so I'm going to pronounce some of these words like an American would. And then it's just so jarring. And then, like, Sypha had, like, the weird kind of, like, mystical accent.
Yeah.
But her grandfather is straight up British.
And wait. What is a mythical accent? That's what I want to know.
Apparently, if you're Latina, you're very
mythical. Okay. Oh,
she's got, like, a weird, like, kind of Latina, but, like, she's, like, a mix of Sombra and Farrah.
Okay.
Like, it's really weird. Like, Eastern kind of, like, Eastern, Middle Eastern.
Basically, you're saying this weird, Eastern Hispanic mixture.
Yes. But she's the only one. Her grandfather, straight up English.
That's true. I do remember that.
She's,
I did think that was weird.
She's the only one in the series that is an actual voice actor, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I had no problem.
She's from, like, the Wings. Winks?
Winks?
Oh, Winks!
Oh,
Winks.
Children's show.
Yeah, so she went from that to Castlevania.
Good. Good for her. You know?
Capturing that demo.
Yeah. New territory. Got to get on that Netflix train where everyone is mature or a child.
So anyway, background about Castlevania. If you don't know, Castlevania has exactly 41 games, apparently, spanning from 1986 to 2014.
Technically 42 if you count the pachinko game.
Oh, Max knows all about pachinko, apparently.
I do now.
Are you a gambler?
No, it's when Konami went down, basically the reason that they decided not to continue with all of their franchises like Silent Hill and Castlevania, Metal Gear Solid, is because they wanted to make more pachinko games and health clubs.
Oh, okay.
So there's also a Konami health club out there, which I actually want to go to.
Now I'm intrigued. Yeah. I want to go.
But I honestly, it's like I would much rather have Silent Hill back. But anyway, they have a lot of pachinko machines in Castlevania. Unfortunately, the latest iteration is just that one, is the pachinko.
But see, like, pachinko games don't really have anything to do with the franchise. It's like all the slot machines you see in Vegas, where it's just like Mystical New Year's, or like the Game of Thrones one. It's just like a picture and then just slots.
Well, of course, yeah. But if that is the last game that is made of that franchise, then you have to kind of wonder, you know?
That's such a tragedy, dude.
Makes me so sad.
So, God, where was I?
we were talking about how there were 41 games.
Oh, yes. And it started out as side-scrolling and was usually centered around the Belmont clan, a vampire hunting clan. And when I looked it up, a lot of this game takes its inspiration from, like, universal, like, horror films or monsters or Hammer horror. I did not know that.
Oh, did you? Okay, so in the games, Frankenstein, werewolves, mermen, the mummy, cyclops, like, things like that just all appear. So it's actually this mishmash of all the literary monsters that you could possibly think of, and Hollywood monsters, and they all sort of, like, jammed them together in no real particular order.
Yeah.
You're never, like, necessarily going to see Dr. Frankenstein, except that there are some games in which he does appear as a character. One of them is when he is just a brain. He is a brain in a robot. But, like, those are those are definitely like constant themes, which is kind of interesting because that's not what you see. You don't see any of that in this one. You only really see vampires and like demons or whatever.
They don't have the rights to Universal.
I think like generically they could probably just reference it, but I think I never played Dracula's Castle, so I have no idea if those are even referenced in that. Like, I have no idea. And plus, like, I'm assuming that they're doing this just to kind of, like, gauge interest, and if it did well like it did, they were going to build more into it.
I mean, Frankenstein is definitely one of, like, the bigger ones that they use consistently in every game. So even in Symphony of the Night, the mummy is in it.
Yeah.
And I believe Frankenstein is in it as well.
Yeah.
So
Universal went after Nintendo for Donkey Kong. Because he's King Kong.
Because he looks like King Kong.
And Nintendo won the lawsuit. And the lawyer who won the lawsuit was named Kirby. And that's where Kirby's name comes from.
What?
That's crazy. That is amazing. Crazy ass trivia. Is that why he's just like this bottomless, like soul-sucking mofo, pig mofo?
Kirby is a lawyer, guys.
That makes a lot of sense,
you know? He just absorbs everyone else's wealth around him.
Just deflect into his mouth, you know?
I feel like now we've got a theme, you know, Nintendo, you get like Mario, the weird plumber or like guy that was working in their building at the time, and now you have Kirby the lawyer.
Yeah, Kirby the lawyer, and you know, maybe someone will have a nanny. Or we definitely, wait, I guess they already did a janitor. So, I don't know. What's that? Cafeteria lady.
Yes.
But that could be Cookie Mama. Who the hell knows? Who knows
Cookie
anymore?
Cookie Mama could literally be somebody's, like, housewife.
Oh, Jesus. That'd be great.
Actually someone's mom.
I know. Oh, my God.
So, I'm wondering if, I'm hoping that they actually put all those tropes in there. Because for Castlevania, at least, the reason that it's so unique is because it takes all of those different horror tropes and puts them all together. And even though the four episodes have been cool, and it's been a really good balance of, like, you know, fan appreciation, but also kind of this nice, mature reworking. Because for the most part, these games are pretty mature, even though they're pixelated, so you can't really tell, but he's whipping shit apart, and there's, like, blood and guts everywhere all the time. One of the bosses in one of the handheld games is basically literally body parts of Dracula that come together and stuff. So, you know, it's definitely super mature, and I'm glad that they kind of see that because usually there isn't that much development with the characters. You get, like, little side bits, but, you know, nothing can ever be dramatic when it's just basically a portrait of a person and then a little pixelated man.
Yeah,
you know
like
what I mean?
Sprite. Yeah.
So it's good to like really see what that story means in kind of a more personal setting, I'd say. So
let's get into like video game adaptations and why some of them work and some of them don't. To me, I feel like this one worked out pretty well. But here is a photo of a bunch of other anime that have been adapted from video games.
Oh my God! Can we talk about Assassin's Creed and how bad that was?
Assassin's Creed. Yes, we can talk about Assassin's Creed.
And they're doing another one?
Yeah, you saw it.
I saw 20 minutes of Assassin's Creed. I don't know.
Yeah, they are doing the next Assassin's Creed that did Castlevania.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Maybe it'll be good, guys.
Is it animated?
It's going to be an anime, yeah.
Well, that's fine. Whatever. Like, it doesn't have Michael Fassbender in it that has to take off his shirt for 3 hours of the movie, so I think I'll be okay with this one.
What doesn't work about a lot of video game adaptations, and there are a lot, and they are so bad, is because they are so loosely related to the actual video game story. Like, Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
I watched that for 20 minutes. They spend so much time in the real present day, and I'm just like, well, this is a stupid-ass movie.
It's mainly the present day.
Yeah, it barely has any past.
All the past stuff is just little, like, vignettes. There's, like, little snippets. There's maybe barely, like, 30 minutes of, like, the actual really cool, like, assassin culture of wherever the hell they were. It was some quasi-European... No, quasi, like, Eastern European. I don't know where the hell it was, honestly. There's just a lot of sand and shit. But basically, like, what do we say? What do we say when someone basically takes something and totally ignores everything? Too many liberties.
Yeah, too many liberties.
Too many liberties.
Because I feel
that's what happens.
I mean, I feel like of these anime, like, up here, which is, like, I've watched Blade and Soul. It's a terrible anime, and it really isn't based in the game at all. I've never played Kankole. Have you?
Kankore?
Yeah.
I have. Why have I, though?
But did you enjoy the anime or the game? I can't even speak to that.
I mean, the game is very much like any other mobile game, though. So there's only a very... It's really more like gacha in which you get to collect characters, and that's where the main stuff is.
And
there isn't really
cards,
a story.
So it's not
yeah.
Like, you don't get to see them and their personalities.
Yeah, the anime was fine. I mean, it was way darker than I thought it would ever be.
I just feel like when it doesn't work, it's because they stray so far from the source material.
Yeah, it's 100% that. And like, for instance, Token Rambu is kind of doing that right now.
Oh, God, yeah.
And unfortunately, it is a little dull, but it is very, for the most part, what the story of the game is. You know, it has the same creatures, it has the same... I mean, it's hard to really know because it was all Japanese when I played it. Mm-hmm. You know, there wasn't really an English version. But all I know is, you know... I think it's the problem is these directors try to take an idea, mm-hmm. right? And I would say the Warcraft movie is also that. They try to take an idea, and then they try to, like, mix these things together into the real world. And they honestly feel like the real world is so important that they have to mm-hmm. put that as a focal point, right? Like, World of Warcraft is only – the only good parts – is when there are no actual humans.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All of the orcs are great. All of the... I mean, like, they don't really show Draenei, but, like, you know, when there are Draenei parts and, you know, the... what is that called? The other side. Whatever. Anyway.
The Alliance.
Yeah, yeah. no, not the Alliance.
The Horde.
Burning Crusade.
The Burning Crusade.
The Burning Crusade, basically. Anyway, the point is...
No, the Burning Legion, dude.
No, Burning Legion. That's what I would say. Thank you. Those parts were the best parts. But then at any time a human came up, you know, you have the limitations of being human. Mm-hmm. And then trying to mix this thing that doesn't really work and people that are not experienced in, you know, dealing with anything virtual or anything green screen and being very awkward, you know? And that mm-hmm. I feel like that's most of these movies have that problem. Like Super Mario. What the hell is Super Mario even about?
Yeah.
Like, literally, what the hell was it even about? Nobody knows. All they did was take vague ideas of things.
And put it in New York City.
Yeah. It would have been a much more interesting movie if it was about dudes that just jumped on stuff.
Yes. Like,
you know? Which, I guess, in a way, like, they have to adapt it. Like, another movie is Street Fighter. You know? Street Fighter based on a video game. For the most part, I think that movie is successful in the sense that, like... It's just these foreign fighters that are fighting against the bad guy. They don't take themselves too seriously.
Yeah.
They all wear colorful costumes.
Yes.
You know? And they're all ridiculous. And it works out. Not the greatest movie ever. But for the most part, you know, it does its job. It doesn't stray too far away from it. Double Dragons. I'm sorry. I'm going into this whole thing. Yeah. I've watched a lot of video game movies.
You don't have to list them all, Max.
This will be the last one. Double Dragons was... about two dudes, two brothers that fought like on the streets against like other martial artists that were evil. The reason that movie was so bad was because then it became this whole dystopian thing about like this crazy like dark apocalypse future and these two white brothers somehow had to harness the power of the dragon, which has no context within this apocalyptic setting. Anyway, that's my point.
I don't even remember that movie. So for you guys, what actually worked about this Castlevania adaptation? Let's start with Max.
Oh, come back to me.
Okay.
I gotta think about this one.
I really like the animation style, and I like that it was just stupid gory and killed everyone and they didn't even care. And I like that we actually have a Belmont that it isn't too weird. If you go back through the history of different pictures of Belmont, mm-hmm. he looks like a completely different mm-hmm. person every single picture. And
oh, he does.
One where he's like bondage Belmont, where like he's got like this body like harness on.
Yeah, that's from the Wii fighting game.
Yeah. What?
It was the
I've never seen bondage Belmont.
The Wii fighting game. Oh, God, what is that called? It's called something Judgment. Or it might just be called Judgment. Anyway. It was designed by the character designer and writer of Death Note. And you know how his arc can get real crazy, kind of like Bondi slash Lolita, but everyone basically looked like they were cosplaying.
It's very visual.
Or they were all strippers. It was pretty great. I mean, the visuals were fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I have to agree. Like, I think the animation in this was very, very good. And when they talk about, like, how it was influenced by Ninja Scroll and Akira, like, you can tell that it was. It definitely looks like Madhouse style to me. And, like, I know there's people out there who's like, well, it's made by Americans, so it's not anime. Guys, it is anime. You heard it here. It's anime.
Yeah, I mean,
I think this counts as anime.
I feel like this is more anime than Avatar is anime. See
that's
what
true.
I mean?
Yeah, that's true. I agree.
How about compared to Voltron?
Voltron.
I feel like Voltron is somewhere in the middle. It kind of reads to me as like Saturday morning cartoons, but also like little kids like Sentai. So it's somewhere there.
Voltron kind of came off as like Avatar.
It's somewhere in the middle.
The Korra,
I think the thing is like, I think there's a weird idea of what anime is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And when anime does it, it's anime, right? Yeah. If a Japanese production company does it, then it's anime. But, like, when an American company does it, they exaggerate these features. Mm-hmm. They exaggerate these things. And that's how you kind of feel like it's sort of, like, not really on the level. It's really more of an imitation. And I think that's kind of what you kind of, like, oh, this is an American cartoon that has taken these Japanese tropes and kind of put them into a cartoon.
Yeah.
Like, you can feel that. But Castlevania doesn't have any.
Avatar was actually just like American made, but Voltron is based off Go Lion.
Yeah.
Which is an anime.
So it's this weird circle of like, because, you know, kind of coming back.
I think it's funny because like when you look at like Go Lion or Voltron, the original, it definitely looks more anime than the current Netflix one.
Yeah.
The current Netflix one definitely looks a bit more like Avatar.
For sure. And I think that's kind of the weird hybrid of, but do you know who animated it? Because it's really hard to know these days because
DreamWorks.
DreamWorks, but did you know if DreamWorks sent out to other places Singapore? Yet. Because
I don't mean to interrupt, but my fellow engineer Neil just informed me that the same creators or artists that did Akora also did Voltron.
So that makes sense.
That means if they're using the same studios that to animate it, most of them are Korean.
Yeah.
So it's like Korean, Singapore. At this point, it's like really hard to even define like what is Japanese anime.
Because
if you look at
most Japanese anime that's on air, very rarely, only the really like specific episodes get farmed out to other Japanese studios. Most of it's done in Korea, Vietnam, Singapore. Mm-hmm. Like it's done in all these, like even China, like other lesser studios. That's why some of the art is real bad.
Yeah. We've seen the Naruto wandering eyes.
Exactly. I think another thing that like worked for me in this adaptation is they really tried to stick to the material.
Yeah.
A lot of the references that are in this series, they're also not beaten over. It's kind of like when we're talking about Super Mario. It's just like, hey, they're jumping. Remember this? This was in the game. Remember that? Like, hey, look at this, guys. Yeah. You know, and like this one is just like when they're in the church, they play music that's very similar to what's in the game. He throws an axe. It curves. You know, they use salt. It's very, very specific gameplay, but it's not like really hammered over your head.
Yeah.
I never realized Castlevania was this violent until I saw the anime and I was like, those pixels were that violent.
They were. Because they're always snapping shit apart. It's always
just, like blows up.
Yeah, you it's like you stab a dude and they're like blah, and they're just like their chunks are just flying everywhere. But of course there are like four red pixels, so you're like, whatever.
And
that's not creepy.
6-year old Shawnee was there just like whipping everything and probably hyped about it.
I think the funniest part was
Think about all the like collateral damage that you did too. Like you're just going around Dracula's place and you're just fucking up all of his furniture too. Like how pissed must he be? You know?
The castle's living. I think the best like reference was the stupid clock tower kind of thing when they're like basically falling under the city. It's referencing the clock tower.
Yeah, it's
and
the
I
labyrinth.
Basically like replayed Symphony of the Night like over the past like week, and I got to the clock tower, and I remember how much I fucking hate that stupid ass. Oh my god!
See, the one thing about the clock tower that they didn't have, at least in the catacombs, in this is the Medusa heads.
Yeah, the stupid Medusa heads, guys. The stupid Medusa heads.
If they see the whole thing is if they had Medusa heads, it would have been weird.
Yes.
Because it's not, they didn't introduce any of that.
Sense.
It doesn't make any sense. If the people that have watched it, it would make sense to them, or people that really were a fan, it would. But unfortunately, they haven't introduced more than just demons and more than just vampires. And so the fact that they're holding that back in and of itself is actually good restraint. That's what makes this really great, is because it doesn't confuse you with too much material. Like you were saying, you know, a lot of people mistake having Easter eggs. Yes. Having Easter eggs for it being something good and related to fan. But really, if you're really wanting to represent a piece of work well, you basically have to do whatever makes that the strongest thing. To me, it's the visuals for Castlevania. It's also, for the most part, I feel like the character building's lacking, but the story isn't necessarily lacking, because Symphony of the Night has a really pretty in-depth story for it just being, like, once again, simple vignettes. So the fact that they're able to take that and really add more to it, you know, take the spirit of it and create something more complex.
Yeah.
The fact that they have this whole thing about the church, that's not even a part of, well, there's conspiracy amongst like the different organizations that end up popping up after the Belmonts, you know, to, as they fight evil, and there's corruption within that.
Yeah.
But they've never just been like, the church sucks. Like, you're Jesus, whatever. Like, here's the cross, and fuck you, God. Like, that doesn't ever happen in the games.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's such a central theme of this, is, like, you don't have to be, you can be religious and still be a dick, you know? Like, just, and that being the driving force behind it just gives it this, like, extra little bit of character and extra bit of, like, theme.
Well, I feel like this is the first time they've actually, like, fleshed out Dracula's backstory.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And now we know why he's so upset.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if anything, I feel like all the other characters kind of fell to the wayside. And I was like, yo, I like Dracula, dude.
Dude, Dracula. Like, you, even though he's doing all this kind of crazy shit, you're just like,
yeah, but they deserve it.
And he also warned them. He was just like, hey.
He gave them a year, dude.
Yeah, he's like, you have 1 year. Get the hell out of here. I'm going to rain so much shit upon your shit. And they're just, like, super overzealous, and they're just like, whatever, Dracula, bring it, brah. We have the protection of God. And then he just shat on them.
Well, and they celebrated it. Yeah. They were like, oh, it's been a year and a few seconds. He hasn't gotten us yet. And they're like, oh, he's just a few minutes late.
Yeah.
So, all right, so let's get into what didn't work for you in this adaptation.
Oh, I know what everyone's going to say. Okay. It's, well, obviously the accent, so let's start with that.
Let's start with Shawnee, your opinion.
It wasn't the accents as much as the, I feel like it was bad voice directing. I feel like a Belmont was a lot of, I'm Belmont, and I'm drunk, and I'm going to kick your butt.
It's true.
I actually like that, because Belmont doesn't have a character. Like, even in the games, he's not an interesting protagonist at all. All you know is he's dude.
He's a vessel for the player.
Yeah, he's an empty shell, and at least with this, there's a history behind the Belmonts. He's been excommunicated from the church, or his family has. He's never seen Dracula. He's never necessarily had to fight vampires or demons or whatever, because their family was basically just exiled from, you know, all of that country.
Yeah.
So it's like the fact that, like, he's progressed to that point, and now he's in the dumps. He doesn't give a shit about anyone, really. But, you know, he kind of has, like, this weird, like, you know, anti-hero, Doctor Who, weird complex. He just kind of, like, walks along and doesn't really care about anyone. But eventually, you know, like, he cares.
Yeah,
you know?
He cares.
I liked his personality. I just didn't like the way the lines were delivered.
It felt delivered
in, like, chunks. Like, he was just reading it off a piece of paper, and nobody was like, hey, this is what you're feeling. You're feeling like a drunk, defeated asshole.
Yeah, because I feel like it's Richard Armitage. He could do slightly better.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know what his experience is with, like, animated stuff.
Well, yeah, and when you're a regular actor, you have the liberty of using your body and visual.
Yeah.
And when you go into a booth, it's not as easy.
Yeah, because you have to emote with your voice and not with your face, as most actors do.
Yeah.
So I listen to it in Japanese.
Yeah,
it takes a lot of practice from what I hear. So it's like another ball game, really.
Yeah, I think for me, I have to agree. It's not even, like, the main cast. I had less problems with the main cast. It was the inconsistent accents across the board of everybody else, because they were like, we're gonna pay a bunch of money to get these big names, and like no money, and like everybody's uncle or brother is gonna do the other voices. Like, there's that scene when they're fighting Trevor in the bar, and these guys are all supposed to, like, have the same Cockney accent, and they're all like, oh, we talk like this, and we are so Cockney and stuff, and then at some point he's just like, well, you went and said something about my aunt, or whatever. I was like, that's, okay, if you're gonna be Cockney, that's not how they say it, you know, like, can you please read up about that? And I didn't understand why, like, nobody could get, like, Wallachia.
Well, yeah, there was many different pronunciations of Wallachia.
I went back and counted. There's at least five different pronunciations. I had to look it up phonetically. The British, like, Wallachia is an actual place. It existed. So we should know how to pronounce it. Somebody directing them should have, like, said something. And it's basically in English, it's Wallachia. But it's actually Wallachia in Romanian.
Oh.
Because in Romanian, you don't have a W. It's Germanic. It's a V. Wallachia.
Look, I don't think they cared that much.
I cared. It bothered me so much.
And but remember that there is a bias. Yes. You have a bias
a huge bias.
Yeah, because you're Britaboo, so, yeah. You know, like...
We prefer Tiaboos or Anglophiles.
Well, you're going to get Britaboo, so...
Well, there's a town in England that nobody can agree how to say. Like, yeah. In England. Because yeah. I listen to soccer stuff sometimes, and forget what the freaking town is, but, like, they'll argue on air about how to say it, and they're from that city.
To me, it's like, okay, so you guys know, like, Los Feliz, right? Mm-hmm. Here in L.A.
You mean Los Feliz?
It's Los Feliz. That's how you say it. But
you mean Los Feliz?
Los Feliz, Los Feliz?
It's Los Feliz.
Or like Coenga. It's so annoying. Like, just get the damn Kwanga. Pronunciation. it drives me Kwanga. Insane.
Like San Pedro and San Pedro.
Yes.
Or L.A. Cienega.
It drives me insane because it's like, you could just look it up phonetically. This is how you say it. If we're going to speak English, let's pronounce it this official UK English way. Or if we're going to pretend to be Romanians, let's pretend. Like, it's just like when people pronounce the last name like Vice, you know, like, you either say Weiss or say Vice.
Yeah.
You say it two ways.
Well, there was that anime where it was called Vice. No, they had Vice in their name. I can't remember what it was. It was about four assassins. Anyway.
Yeah, Vice Cruz.
Vice Cruz. That's what it was called. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. The thing that didn't work for me, unfortunately, was some parts of the animation were super choppy. Super, super choppy. A lot of in-betweens. I know they did their best. Because that's...
You tried.
No, they did. No, it was a valiant effort. It really was. But I could very much tell with the four episodes that they had, they were stretching their budget out.
Yes.
Very far. The things that I have to commend them for is, like, the way that they did it, the smart way that they kind of, like, there was a lot of stills, you know, mm-hmm. very beautifully rendered stills, you know, and I would much rather see that than some terribly half-assed, like, animated garbage, you know what
or
I mean?
Or just going back and forth on someone's face for, like, 10 minutes.
Or all, like, the really bad Berserk animation, you know? The fact of the matter is, unfortunately, there's so much of that, it's hard not to notice. So I thought that was kind of its downfall, in a way. The accents did bother me a little bit, but it was only very briefly because, mm-hmm. you know, for the most part, everything else is pretty good. Like, the visuals in and of itself is relatively captivating. Mm-hmm. The music is really great.
The music was really good.
They set the tone really, really well. It just, once again, they're just sometimes those demons are kind of weird looking. Yes. And sometimes, you know, there's like, so there's one of these scenes where it's like, this demon is eating a baby. Or there's another one, which is like my favorite part of the whole series, is a demon comes over and he just smacks a dude, except that it's like four frames long. So it's like his arm flies back and then he's a splat on the wall. And then he just like kind of like does a 360 and runs away. Yeah. It's really funny and it's really like kind of jank, but it's also hilarious in its own kind of jank way. Yeah, but I mean, it, unfortunately, I guess there was pretty... There's some pretty funny parts, too. So I guess maybe that was really intentional or less intentional. It's really hard to know if that was just bad animation. I'm laughing at it. Or it was like, they're just like, let's just throw this in because it's kind of funny. Who knows?
Or maybe they were like, distract them from the bad animation with humor.
Dude, that's a very good way to do it. Yeah. It's really funny. It was hilarious.
Because everyone I watched it with was like, he just ate a baby.
Yeah, he just...
Nobody said anything about the animation.
Yeah, the eating the baby part is just sort of like, oh, he ate a baby. And then there's also, like, once again, I was saying, like, the beautifully rendered stuff. The gore is very... very graphic, mm-hmm. but in its own weird way,
it's
also very,
very
beautiful.
Like Warren Ellis.
Yeah.
If you've ever read his stuff, like it's just what he does.
Yeah. So it's yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah. I think what else? Like I read another
Wallachia.
I think what I also noticed is like when I read up like other lists of what people liked and didn't like about this is that it's like some people are like, oh, it's pretty slow, or like you can't really connect to any of the characters. You don't really get a sense of Dracula and Alucard's. I mean, Alucard's in this like thing for like 5 minutes. He's in it for 5 minutes. And like the whole
but
time.
But it's the best 5 minutes
yeah,
of this
whole
series.
It's the best 5 minutes. I waited like all four episodes for that moment. And like, I feel like you connect a lot more with Dracula because he's so compellingly written within the first, like, 20 minutes. And then Trevor and the other people, you're like, yeah, okay.
Who, like, found love and then lost it right away.
Yeah, like, Dracula's story is super intense. Like, even though it's less than 4 minutes, it's, like, already the dialogue, which is probably a handful of lines, is just so well done. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just the typical, like, it is sort of that Beauty and the Beast sort of idea, right?
And his voice acting was good.
Yeah.
Graham McTavish, he had no trace of Scottish accent. I was very surprised. See, good acting.
Really, really good. Dracula was just so on point
every
time.
The beginning of the first episode was great, and the end of the series
was
great.
They had a strong start. They had a pretty good middle. They had the moments in the middle, because unfortunately it was really more about the Belmont and the singers? No. What are they called?
The speakers.
Speakers. It was about the speakers and then the church being kind of assholes. But the animation for Trevor Belmont, the whip animation, amazing. Like, I just have never seen whip animation that was as, like, intriguing as that. You know, like, sure, the eyeball and stuff, but it's really more like him grabbing, like, arrows and knives, and even that last fight with Alucard, where, like, Alucard's up in the air, and he kind of does, like, weird thing where he, like, puts his thumb behind the whip and, like, smacks him over, like, stuff like that.
Well, and I feel like that's satisfying, because the whole time you meet Belmont, you're waiting for him to whip someone.
Yeah.
And then
it's
he finally
so critical
does it,
to him.
And you're yes!
And then but then it's not like in the games where he just, like, he throws it and then he kind of, like, jangles it around, you know? It's really, like, really bold and dynamic, which is something that he needed. But they could have also just made, like, I'm whipping a guy, you know? But instead it was, like, the whip itself was its own character and, like, an extension, you know, really dope weapon. I would have liked to see that if she's just like wiggling around himself.
We got like 5 minutes left, so let's talk about your favorite Castlevania game.
Wait, before we do that, I just want to hit up chat real quick.
Yes, chat.
Tenacity's Movie Corner, thanks for watching.
Yeah, what's up, dude?
You're awesome. Glad that you come here every week and listen to our nonsense. So he says, remember Prince of Persia?
No,
I don't. Because it's a very forgettable movie.
That movie was just Aladdin.
Yeah, and apparently he's insulted by the fact that Avatar is an anime. I don't care. You can call it anime.
I mean,
call
you
it
can
a cartoon.
If you want to. I'm not going to hate on you.
Yeah, there's literally, for me, I have no like party in this fight because
you don't have a dog in this fight, as they say.
Yeah, whatever.
It is animated.
It is animated. I mean, what is the difference, really, at the end of the day? They're all animated shows, and globalization has basically just made it into one sort of, you animate from other places, and I think what's really more important is the fact that, you know, they have specific companies or specific directors, specific producers. That should be the gauge now, because it doesn't really matter, because if Winx was done in Japan, who would give a shit, really?
Yeah, like, exactly. So, favorite Castlevania.
Yeah. Patrick O'Malley, thanks for joining us, also said that he's pretty sure that Castlevania is animated in Korea. I would not be surprised.
Yeah, I would not be surprised.
They are moving a lot of animation to Vietnam now. So,
cool.
Anyway. Yeah, and the music is the best part, says Tanashi's Move Corner. I totally agree. All right. So, favorite parts.
Favorite Castlevania game, dude.
Castlevania game, dude.
Yeah.
Duh.
We got 3 minutes.
Okay. 1 minute. I personally I think Symphony of the Night is kind
Agreed.
Of just the all-around best one. Because I was actually old enough to understand what was going on and get the systems. I didn't give up early because I was a lazy asshole when I was a child and as an adult. But also, Castlevania X, which is something that I've recently found, is really dope because they have anime cutscenes in between it.
Oh,
they're great.
That's
kind of triggered it.
The kind of. Oh. Yeah. So it has, like, these really, really good, like, the 32-bit animations, you know, like, from the Super Nintendo era, or it's, like, Super Nintendo PlayStation era. They're super cool. And it actually gives Dracula a kind of, like, a sad backstory. You know, just being a lonely, lonely guy. It's a lonely guy in a castle just wants to find love, you know?
Shawnee, your favorite?
Four. I think it was the first one I really played hardcore, because it was on the Super Nintendo, and I had the Super Nintendo in my room. So that was the one I played the most, and I had to put the blanket over my little TV so my dad couldn't see the light under the door when I would stay up until 5 a.m. playing video
I know that game. Secret.
Why didn't you
I
just put
that
the
hack.
Blanket... Under
you know,
the door.
And because also, I come from a beach city and they're cold. So.
Right. Fair enough, fair enough. I agree with Max. Mine is Symphony of the Night, simply just because it's... I mean, I played the one on SNES, but I mostly remember Symphony of the Night. But I don't actually remember it that well because I replayed it over the past week and I was real, real bad at it. Either that game was real hard or I was just real shit at
Older
it.
Games
You're trying to play with a keyboard.
I mean, no, but I got a controller and it was still pretty hard.
All right,
and
yeah.
I think older games, I had this conversation with another friend of mine today. I was like, older games are much harder. Kids are so damn lucky today that they've basically given you training wheels.
You kids are so lucky for your video games.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're just old. They're not lucky. We're just old.
Yeah. I don't really like where Castlevania has gone. I mean, now that I know there's a pachinko machine, I know it's just really gone downhill as games.
It hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah,
that's
but
the problem.
I feel like the canon they've just kind of lost. But yes, that's it for us this week. Next week is Max's pick. Do you know what we're doing?
We are doing a very in-depth look into witches. No, I'm just kidding. I have no clue what we're doing.
So Max is going to let us know next week what we're doing. Thanks, guys, for joining us. Once again, you can find me everywhere online at Yume Warlock. Yume Warlock is where I'm at. I almost busted a Michelle. Shawnee, where can we find you?
You can find me everywhere at Agent Shawnee, like Secret Agent.
And you can find me at Max Saltz on the everything. Check us out. And if you are listening on iTunes, please leave a comment and a review, because those actually help the algorithm. And then more people that are actually interested in any of this stuff, hopefully there are people out there, will be able to see it and propagate us, and then gives us, you know, I don't know, notoriety?
Yeah,
sure,
ups.
Whatever.
All right, thanks, guys.
Have a good week. See you next week. Sorry. Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.